This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen on the air with another, well, actually three different things to focus on. Some news from the farming world that will affect you and impact all of us who are family farmers. We're going to then talk to an educator, a professional who has a very interesting spin on farming. And then my opinion about something going on in the world of agriculture. Starting off with news about milk prices, you know, with all the talk about the various dairy co-ops, Borden's going out of business as well, and Dean Foods doing the bankruptcy thing, and the whole reality of why milk is as bad as it is and unpopular as it is and all of that stuff. Well, for those of you who have stuck it out, I did not. I quit milking cows in 2015 because I just couldn't get any help, amongst other things. Milk prices are headed up, it seems. The outlook for dairy, the Class 3 price for milk without all the bonuses that you get, it will be $1.20 to $1.30 higher than it was last year by the time we get actually. The prices have started going up now. It'll be interesting to see when we get the flush in the spring where the price actually goes. But even though there are fewer, maybe this will slow down the exit from the dairy farming business. I sure hope so, because it's so wonderful. Although I did read in one of the trades, I think it was American Agriculturalist, story about a farm in Pennsylvania. I think it was Pennsylvania, maybe in Vermont. But the family had been milking cows for 170 years, and they were milking 150, 200. When this kid that was the focus of the article was a kid. He's not a kid anymore. He's in his 40s. But when he was a kid, they were milking 50 cows on his farm. And that's what I remember when I was a kid. We were milking 15. I was at 15, 16 in the stanchion barn. And the old Surge milkers, man, was that, what a wonderful memory. I'm thinking about the Surge and the De La Valle milkers that we used to use. Wow, that's gone. Well, although they're still making, those two companies are still making the product, but the stuff that you use to milk cows today, the robots and those big parlors and stuff that come from the same companies, wow, what a difference. So anyway, going from 15 cows to 50 cows, now his family is milking 1,500 cows. There are two in the family, the father and the son, and then the grandson is in it, and I think one of the granddaughters, and they've got four or five people that work for them. They harvest from 2,000 acres, grow their own corn and feed, basically, to milk the 1,500. But they don't have, you know, I guess what happens, and you see this, this is why some of these farms could sustain themselves, because especially the feed bunker farms are sustaining themselves because they can feed more cows in a big lot. That's how it works. Some of these, if you're milking 1,000, 1,500, you almost have to have a feed lot. Hard to pasture that many cows. You just can't do it, really, get the feed for them. But let's keep our fingers crossed as to the price of milk going up for those who are still in it. Meanwhile, the big news of the week, you may literally choke on this, and I'm thinking, wow, what does this do to our agricultural future? There's a study that's out this week. The biological anthropologist at Wayne State University, Dr. Julie Lesnick, has looked ahead with her students to the year 2050 and what we will be eating at that time. One of the things that she focused on was whether we're going to have enough food, or whether we're going to grow enough food, whether we're going to have enough land to feed almost 10 billion people. In other words, in the next 30-some-odd years, the population of the planet will increase by 2 billion. It's taken us since, I think it was after World War I, to go up by 1 billion. And it's just the irresponsibility. I mean, this is a whole different can of worms that I'd get into if it were a different program. The irresponsibility of people with various religious backgrounds, people live in India, Mormons, whoever they are, the Hasidic Jews, they got to have 8 or 10 kids in their family. It's what they're doing is killing the planet. They don't. They're so egotistic they don't even get it. Anyway, that's not the point of this conversation. The point of it is to focus on what these people in their research found we were going to have to be. There will be stores, restaurants, instead of serving cheeseburgers, they'll be serving bugs. The plant-based burger alternatives, the way that we cook beef on a, the grill or whatever, it's a fiber, whatever it is. So what's going on is that because there won't be enough animals like cattle around, so they'll be looking for crickets and bugs of all kinds, and you'll be consuming this sort of thing. I'm looking at a picture of this big plate of fried bugs. The UN's Food and Agriculture Organization is looking around. They're now starting in Africa to have cricket farms. So they'll be vertically farmed like fish are today, and a lot of other things, beef, I suppose. You look at most of the stuff that's vertically farmed today. They still were going to have to obviously use water to clean stuff, but less water will be necessary to clean the bugs. So we're going to switch our diets. Those of you who expect to have a farm in 50 years of keeping the family, you better figure out how to grow crickets, because as the climate changes a little bit, they'll be able... you can graze them, I guess. That's what if you can believe that. You can graze crickets and other things, alternative protein that comes from all kinds of bugs. Eating bats, that kind of stuff, that's foreseeable in the future, according to the World Economic Forum. So they'll be replacing beef or just adding on to it with these alternative proteins that come from bugs. Just not just crickets, but caterpillars eating just imagine, it's so foreign to us. But, in other parts of the world, people eat a lot differently than we do. And they don't mind, the stuff you eat in China, if you ever go there, oof. And Asia in general. Ugly. It's just plain. Well, but they're used to it, so it's no big deal for them. Anyway, food for thought here. In a moment, we're going to talk to a professor who's got a great idea when it comes to farming. That's up next here on The American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen.
Hey, guys, it's Mock and Daisy from the Chicks on the Right. We are bringing Common Sense back in podcast form.
It's the Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast.
Each week, we delve into the topics that get people riled up the most.
From parenting and our families to the dangers of political correctness, gun rights, and even sex robots.
Nothing is off limits.
We're just two moms, unfiltered, telling it like it is.
Find out more by going to our website, chicksontheright.com, or start listening to the Mock and Daisy Common Sense Cast on your favorite podcast app.
Don't forget to subscribe, download, and leave us a review.
With your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute, I'm Jeff Olson. Not long after the cutting comes the crying.
The irritant can really be really strong and just make us cry pretty quickly.
Executive Chef Jen Welper says that irritant is actually part of the onion's built-in protection against predators. Chopping breaks up cells inside the onion and sets off a chain reaction that releases volatile chemicals. When those chemicals hit our eyes,
it activates our tear glands and then we cry.
Welper has heard about plenty of tricks to thwart the tears. Hold a piece of bread in your mouth. Wear goggles.
Rinse the onion under cold running water. Another one is to light a match and blow it out.
Welper says it all sounds like more work than it's worth.
Just cut the onion and get it over with.
She says you can reduce the amount of irritant that gets to your eyes by keeping your onion together as much as possible as you slice through it. And if you end up shedding a few tears,
sometimes it's really therapeutic to have a good cry. So just let it out.
For more information, talk with your healthcare provider or visit mayoclinic.org.
The most dangerous day for a newborn is her first day of life. Every 31 seconds, an infant dies from infections, pneumonia, malnutrition. But she doesn't have to die. For more than 60 years, Project Hope has been saving lives around the world, delivering medicines and supplies, giving newborns a healthy start, making sure her first day of life is not her last. Because everyone deserves hope. To volunteer or learn more about Project Hope, visit projecthope.org/newborns.
The American Family Farmer, with a focus now on community education and farming. This is something that I have been on for a long time, but I think I was the sole voice for a while. We have Imani. I want you to help me, Imani, with this, because I don't want to mispronounce your name.
Is it Olivala?
Alugbala. Okay, I think I got it now.
On the test, at the end.
Welcome. Okay, thank you. Welcome here. You're an advocate, and a lot of times people don't understand what advocates for good food are. Tell me about you and what you're doing at Soul Fire Farm.
Sure. Good morning. I'm really happy to be here with y'all today. I would say, I'm an advocate for food justice. I'm a part of the collective that is Soul Fire Farm, and we're committed to ending racism in the food system. And so that takes a lot of different forms. We grow food. We do a lot of community education, a lot of political, like, lobbying, organizing, and just really trying to go at this, like, systemic problem from many angles.
All right, so Lynn, you got me at the beginning because I think this is the first time I've ever thought, although I think racism, in terms of current farming practices versus what used to be the case in our country 100 years ago when some black farmers had little plots of land and it was almost like feudalism. But what sort of racism exists in our food system today? Educate us, Imani, will you please?
Absolutely. Leah Penniman, one of our co-founders, wrote the book Farming While Black, and so it'll go into a lot more. And there's also a great article on Yes Magazine's website, Four Not So Easy Ways to End Racism in the Food System, that'll go into a lot more. But essentially, that history of stolen land, of stolen labor, is still just very much present today. And so you said, like, back a couple of years ago, folks mostly were relegated to sharecropping or tenant farming, where they owed the, like, owners of the land so much and very rarely had enough to take to market for themselves to sell or to develop any kind of wealth. It was just really a continuation of the slavery system that got this country rich in the first place. And then we know through, like, just decades of discrimination and different, like, segregating practices by the U.S. Department of Agriculture, black farmers used to own about 14% of the nation's farmland, maybe, like, at the height in the earlier 1900s, and now it's somewhere close to 1% of the nation's farmland.
So how did that happen? How did that happen, Imani? Explain, if you would, please. I have an explanation for a certain segment of farming, but I'm interested, generally speaking, how the ownership of the land went from 14% to 1%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, there are a lot of different reasons that happened. One that we're probably, like, more, like, familiar with are instances of white terrorism. And so just, like, folks really being targeted, land owners specifically for, quote-unquote, not staying in their place. And so that would take the form of folks' farms being destroyed, burned, having all types of, like, poisonous things either, like, fed directly into the soil or to, like, the non-human animals that they were keeping on farms. And so there are just countless instances of things like that happening. But really the number one reason is the USDA, the U.S. Department of Agriculture, and, like, the way that we still have it nowadays. You know, we have all these county boards with different representatives of the USDA where folks are supposed to be able to go and get the kinds of support that farmers might need, perhaps if there's a drought or some other kind of, like, just things that are affecting the agricultural climate. And consistently, black farmers were denied the kinds of supports that white farmers were given, and black farmers were denied the kind of supports that they were entitled to. So that might mean having their application thrown out or being laughed at, like being spat on, having things just torn up, so, or told that their application was lost.
We're back to the Civil War era, then, in essence, of what happened. It's not slavery per se, but it's a prejudice that has existed here in this country. I want to, we'll go into it in more detail in a matter of moments. Stand by. We're continuing on The American Family Farmer. Let me see if I do this right again. Imani Alugbala. Stand by. Continuing in a matter of moments here on The American Family Farmer.
Both my legs were amputated due to an IED. It's when you start to try to get back into, like, an everyday life. I absolutely felt like I lost some of my purpose. There must be something more. When DAV came into my life, they gave me a new mission. I could still be a productive member of society, could still support a family.
The DAV gave him that sense of structure and purpose again to get his life back together.
Visit DAV.org to learn more about our mission.
Are you over 50? Would you like to get up to 33% more income in retirement? Then call now for this free book, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers, from a leading financial firm on maximizing your income in retirement. That's right, free. This free book reveals little-known truths about annuities in simple-to-understand terms that will help you make the right choices before buying an annuity. And it's free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report summarizing the rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. That's right, Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling today.
800-932-1789. 800-932-1789. 800-932-1789. That's 800-932-1789.
Producers have the appropriate licenses for the products they offer. Increased income is possible using strategies suited to your goals and may require buying multiple annuities and holding them full term.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Welcome to the farm, where you can roll your windows down. Baby, take my arm. I ain't hearing nothing.
Continuing on this week's American Family Farmer, an unusual conversation. This is not where we usually go, but this is helpful, I think, for us to understand what's going on in areas of the country where there are a number of black farmers, and they're not getting the same treatment as a lot of white farmers. Amani Alugbala is here. She's a speaker from Soulfire Farm. You can go to their website, soulfirefarm.org, to get the essence of what they're trying to do in the community outreach department. We're talking about racism, and I made reference to what was going on and has gone on since the Civil War, especially down south, but it exists other areas in other areas of the country. I don't know that it's been pointed out too much. What I know, Amani, about black farmers goes to World War II or the end of World War II. A lot of black farmers were growing hemp and helped in the war effort, because hemp was very important in terms of clothing and rope and all the things that were needed. Hemp was a legal product. Hemp was a very important source of a lot of different things in our country. Then after the war, a group of mostly Southern senators made it very difficult, actually impossible, for hemp farmers to continue. They made growing hemp illegal and thus affected a lot of black farmers who were growing hemp. And that's where it stayed almost until, you know, the last few years when people started looking at it and see the benefits, all the benefits that come from hemp, mm-hmm. whether it's the rope or the clothing or the food or the CBD oil, whatever it is. So that's an example, but I know it does exist. So the situation of moving ahead and trying to get things straightened out, are you running up against a brick wall, or are you getting somewhere and fixing this problem?
Well, it's really a complicated problem that has, like, a lot of different legs to go about it. And so you were saying earlier, like, post-Civil War era, and what I was saying was really we're talking about the 1900s up until today. And so there's like the Human Rights Commission or Council, the part of the U.S. government that did a bunch of research just showing that just even from the 60s up until today, all of those like discriminatory practices continue. And that's the reasons why we have seen this decline from 14% of the nation's farmland to 1%. And so recently, the USDA did put out information saying that that number was on the rise, but further examination showed how really numbers were really being conflated by considering like white women farmers, LGBTQ farmers, new farmers, and Black Indigenous and people of color farmers all together, which obviously you can be any of those things or you can be one of those things, but those groups are not interchangeable. And so while we have seen some gains in those numbers, we're actually not sure that there has been a lot of like actual shifts. But folks are definitely talking about like different forms of reparations that would look like returning land, not just to Black farmers who have been disadvantaged, but to Indigenous farmers and Indigenous people in general whose land this is everywhere in this country, you know? So
who owns that land now? Who owns the land in question? Is it privately held or is it government held? Where there are a lot of government lands that are not being used, and they're going to have to be used for farming, whether we like it or not, as we go forward, because there's not going to be enough land. Is there some move to have some of this land owned by the government re-given or retaken back by some of the Black farmers?
I think what's happening is a lot of folks are figuring out things that they can do as individuals, folks who hold land privately. And I feel like there is like a conversation about what the government can do. But really, we're talking about what can we do for each other ourselves right now.
Yeah. I want to look to the solution here as we continue our conversation. Amani Olagbala, who is here on the American Family Farm with Doug Steffen at 28 past the hour.
I am doing all the right things, drinking plenty of water, eating right, and exercising. But month after month, my constipation with belly pain, straining, and bloating keep coming back.
Irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, affects 13 million Americans. Linzess, linaclotide, is a prescription medication that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess helps relieve belly pain and lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements. Individual results may vary. Do not give to children less than 6, and it should not be given to children 6 to less than 18. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Talk to your doctor and learn more at Linzess.com. That's Linzess.com. Or call 1-800-LINZESS.
The experts at Web.com want to build your business a successful website for free, just like we did for these current Web.com customers.
We've used and looked at other website designers, but there's nobody better than Web.com.
Web.com can build your website in as little as 7 days free. Plus, we'll promote it on all the major search engines like Google, Yahoo, and Bing. If after 30 days you're happy, we'll continue to provide promotion, hosting, support, and maintenance, all for one low monthly fee. If not, cancel and pay nothing.
If you're in business today and you don't have a web presence, you won't be taken seriously.
Call right now and you'll also get a free .com or .net domain name for your new website powered by VeriSign, the world's leading domain name provider.
Call 800-993-8236. That's 800-993-8236.
No upfront charge for site build, after which ongoing fees apply. Rights to site are relinquished when canceled. Domain included during active service, after which fees apply.
That's 800-993-8236.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with John Hunt.
President Donald Trump signed into law a major rewrite of the rules of trade with Canada and Mexico, celebrating the fulfillment of one of his top campaign promises. Trump said negotiating the North American Free Trade Agreement was probably the number one reason I decided to lead this crazy life that I'm leading right now. He also said, today, we're finally ending the NAFTA nightmare. The event featured hundreds of business and farm leaders from around the country and scores of Republican officials. The U.S. International Trade Commission calculated that the deal will add at least $68 billion to economic growth and generate over 176,000 jobs over the next few years. The new pact, along with the signing of Phase 1 of the agreement with China, dials down trade tensions that have contributed to slowing economic growth globally. This is USA Radio News.
America's founders knew power corrupts, and ultimate power corrupts ultimately, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. That's why they built in checks and balances to prevent any one group from seizing all power.
And that's why our president is elected by a college of electors, to protect the rights of little states like Delaware and Wyoming against giants like New York and California. After all, our country is a republic, the United States of America, not the United States. Our states are independent, sovereign powers who created the federal government, not the other way around.
And that's why all power ultimately lies in we the people and the states, not a central dictatorship of cronies. Did you know that? Thank God for the U.S. Constitution.
Find out more how our amazing Constitution and Bill of Rights protect us, the citizens, against power-crazed politicians in Washington. Help us take back America. Go to OurAmericanRights.com. Brought to you by the American Media Council.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women. Here's a clip from the Rachel Ray Show testing the results of Instantly Ageless.
Board certified dermatologist Dr. Whitney Bow. If you're looking to try to turn back the clock on a budget, you know, in the privacy of your own home, but actually there's some recent technologies emerging, almost like changes the behavior of the skin while it sits on the skin.
She went off to try a product called Instantly Ageless.
Yeah.
Instantly, you could see a difference. Even the cameraman were like, wow, look at the difference.
Yeah.
But I would definitely use this product.
Yeah. This product, within minutes of applying it, it was actually a very dramatic rejuvenation.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Here's to the farmer, the plants, the fields, and the spring that turn from green to that harvest honey. Pull one up for the
website for Soulfire Farm is soulfirefarm.org. A lot of resources there so you can educate yourself. I'm wondering. We have Imani Oleg Bala with us from Soulfire Farm. We're talking about what's happened in the past. And I would like to, now that we've overlooked, we've got an oversight of the problem, what we do to fix it. And I don't want to, I think sometimes these things become political because they are political. I wonder whether one group, I guess I'd go back, you know, there are a lot of people that are focusing on Trump. And what people who have that ideology are doing or not doing in terms of this. But I wonder what might have happened during the Obama years. Is that when all of this started, Imani? When did the focus on fixing the problem start?
Oh, I would say the focus of fixing the problem started as soon as the problem was identified. You know, just like folks were practicing like abolitionist things ever since enslavement started. I feel like folks have always been trying to do things, whether that was creating co-ops and communities and farmers and like farmers and scholarship funds where folks could get the kinds of things that they needed that they weren't receiving from the federal government. People have been always doing that. But I would say like the more so, I don't know. I don't think it began with the Obama era necessarily, but I know a lot of folks have been working on it over the past couple of years because that's when I got into it. And I feel like just the national conversation right now in like politically is about what does reparations look like? How can we like support Black farmers? There's like a couple of candidates who are like working, who have like Leah and a couple of other amazing farmers throughout the country have been offering like tweaks, suggestions, challenges for like current political candidates. And so there's a lot of different like avenues people can take to work on it. Some of it's political, and like some of it like involves like labor protections for farm workers. And
all right. Well, I'd rather than be general, I'd rather be specific about this because I think that is that helps people if they want to take action know what to do. I think we can talk generally about the problem. I think we got that handled. But now I want to know that now that you brought it to our attention. I want to know what we can do, those of us who are farmers now, maybe that's a place for us to start, how we, if there is a way, I mean, I think a lot of times farm ownership is a treacherous realm to be in these days. Family farms are being pushed out by the huge conglomerates, and for me, it isn't the equity here, if that's what we're talking about, or the justice here. The focus ought to be on these huge, huge corporate, they aren't even farms, they're just big corporations that are growing food or milking cows or whatever it is. And I think that you haven't mentioned them, but in my mind, they're part of the problem because they're pushing not just Black farmers out, white farmers, they're pushing everybody out. And frankly, I think unless everybody works together, this stuff gets splintered, and when you get divided into smaller groups, the big people find it easier to push you around. So I wonder if there isn't some way to rectify this by going directly in a group that included small family farmers who were Black and white, to whether you go to the government, whether you go to these big companies and make it known that, you know, what's the old expression from the movie, I'm damn sick of it, I'm not going to take it anymore. You know, I think that's, you got to pound on the table.
True. And I don't think that that's anything, like, new, right? Like, so farmers of all backgrounds, ethnicities, races have worked together and recognized that there's this bigger system that's, like, doesn't have any of our is not out for any of our benefit. And so folks have, like, consistently lobbied together and worked together in a number of ways. I think it depends on how individuals want to go about the problem. We, on our website, we have, like, a list of action steps and, like, really kind of breaks down into seven different sections, one being about policy, two being about individual actions, three being about reparations, building alliances, changing internal like structures of organizations. Maybe that's not as relevant for farmers. One is about grant making and funding, and another is just about self-reflection and education. So really it depends on how folks want to go about it, you know. I imagine like folks listening in might be interested in like individual action steps that they could take. And so those things might look like putting skills to work to support like farmers or business owners of color, buying products, sharing whatever resources their business or organization like might have that might like just supporting local other folks who might be having needs that we may or may not know about unless we reach out, creating good jobs and hiring folks who might be otherwise overlooked in the capitalist economy. Maybe like not just like folks of color, maybe formerly incarcerated people, folks who don't have documents, elders, folks with disabilities, and really like work like, and we were talking about like Trump and the current administration. I feel like folks working with other folks who may feel like their best interests are aligned with the current administration when in actuality there aren't. And so just supporting to raise consciousness amongst folks rather than like organizing for people of color, organizing people of color, uplifting black and brown expertise, ancestral and current. And there's like a bunch of like the Real Food Alliance and has a number of like just different like avenues that we can go about it. But local farmers, I think specifically, can join like the Domestic Fair Trade Association and seek food justice certification through the Agricultural Justice Project, because they both uphold high standards for fair treatment of workers and care for the environment, and really just like getting educated. I think this is like many parts of the elephant to eat, right? And so you have to go about it.
There's going to be a group of people who want to get educated, but there's also the practical side of these people, whether they're black or white or whatever, working 12, 14, 15, 16-hour days most of the year and not having time to dig around in all of this. So I want to approach this from a different point of view in a matter of moments. We're continuing our discussion here in the American Family Farmer with Imani Al-Agbala. The focus now for a moment, your credit card bills, no matter where you are, no matter what your business, no matter what your livelihood, no matter what your income, people in America outspend their income. That's what credit cards are all about. Let's face it. So most of us have credit card debt. There is a credit card debt hotline that exists today to help you learn how to reduce your payments and maybe cut them back. A fraction of what you owe, maybe all you have to pay. You'll find out the answers to your specific problems by calling 800-560-6760. That's the credit card debt hotline, 800-560-6760. Why have the uncomfortable sort of albatross around your neck if you can figure out a way around it that's responsible and the information when you get started is free? 800-560-6760. Again, that number for credit card debt hotline, 800-560-6760.
Freedom doesn't start in the White House. It starts in your house. Here's Helen Kriebel.
Air Canada says it will no longer use the phrase ladies and gentlemen, just in case anybody might be offended. Its in-flight announcements will now address passengers as everyone. Many companies are joining the fad of eliminating all references to gender, a commitment to respect sexual identity, diversity, and inclusion, they say. But who exactly is offended by being called something nice? The company admits nobody has actually complained about it. They just want to avoid ever offending anyone in the future. Good luck. It is not possible to go through life without ever saying or thinking anything that could possibly offend someone. Americans need to lighten up. Political correctness is so out of control that it offends me. I'm not gender neutral. I'm female, and I love being called a lady.
For more, check out our podcast at lensofliberty.org.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. Many fans dream of seeing football's biggest game of the year in person. If you're fortunate enough to have this experience, be sure you're maximizing your financial rewards for the trip of a lifetime. Travel expert Lee Abamonte shares insider tips.
Booking travel for the big game can be expensive, with thousands of people headed to Miami. No matter which team you're rooting for, you can come out on top with the Bank of America Preferred Rewards Program. As a member, I always receive a rewards bonus when I use my Bank of America Premium Rewards credit card. This boosts the points I earn on all travel and dining purchases to an unlimited 3.5 points per dollar. Another helpful perk is the unlimited no-fee ATM transactions at all U.S. ATMs that I receive as a Preferred Rewards member in the Platinum Honors tier. Whether you're using a card or cash, taking a road trip, or flying to see the big game in person, Preferred Rewards has you covered.
For more, visit bankofamerica.com/preferred rewards.
Imani Al-Agbala is here from Soulfire Farm, website soulfirefarm.org. We're talking about racism. We've talked about it in terms of the farmer. We haven't talked about it in terms of who eats what, which is a whole different can of worms.
Mm-hmm.
But the business I was getting to is how everybody is sort of being neglected that's on the lower end of the spectrum here. And we're talking about blacks and whites, but there's a lot of Latino. The comparison, let me go back a little bit to what I remember earlier on the farm. Before, there were lots of Hispanic workers on the farm. There were a lot of black workers on the farm. And in some cases, in some situations in America, they had a way to buy their way in or to get a share of what was going on. Now we see a lot of, especially in the Southwest, but it's happening all over the country, instead of the black workers that were doing it, now it's Hispanic workers who are doing the same thing. And I guess I'm wondering off the top of my head how many farms are owned and operated by Latinas, not just operated by, because I think that has been something, another bugaboo in all of this. It's really very interesting, and I don't know that we would have thought about this had you not brought it to our attention. It's kind of a caste system. But one of the real problems, Amani, in getting justice is the financial reality of what goes on the farm. There have been laws that have been passed to give the worker better money opportunities, better benefits, working conditions, that sort of thing. But in the face of the competition that exists today, the reality is that more farmers will be put out of business, whether they're black or white, if you follow all of the regulations that have been thrown at farmers by the government. The government is not our friend. And I'm, you know, maybe you think there are programs you can get justice, but maybe you're figuring it out, that the government isn't your friend and you got to work through other sources. Have you come to that conclusion?
What conclusion is that? I'm sorry.
That the government's not your friend. The government
definitely.
The government's not helping you.
I'm like, yeah, what's the next act, obviously? Yeah, definitely. And as we continue to, like, learn about our history, it just becomes so clear. I think so. And I think folks just, like, need to continue to see each other as, like, the allies that we need. And
yes.
Folks who are definitely going to advocate for each other.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, there's a larger agenda that doesn't care about us. So,
you know, one of the things that I was hoping for, or maybe the suggestions here, you've probably looked at this as well, is training young black farmers, people who are coming along, a lot of young kids that didn't grow up on the farm, whether they be black or white or whatever. The problem with me is I don't like race as the focus, because I think there are a lot of problems that it's important for you. I get it. But in terms of what's fair, the thing that bothers me is there is so much of this sort of racism, but there's an ageism, there's an educational quotient, there's all kinds of prejudices. And what would be so much better is if we all learned, you know, I think that farmers today, my farm, I've got an opportunity for people to come in, no matter what their background, to learn about cows and to learn about growing. I'm going to be growing hemp and cannabis on my farm, and I want to teach people how to do that. We need workers to do it, and there are great opportunities here. If you look around the country as we vary agriculture, and it bothers me that people of color are separated out. I think there's a lot of prejudice toward a lot of different people, and wouldn't it be wonderful, maybe in the best of all worlds, if we didn't have to look at people in the color of their skin? It bothers me, frankly.
Yeah, I think everybody would love that, right? But actually, I think it's fine to look at, like, the color of skin if we're going to be appreciating all of the variety and diversity. That's the whole point, right? Like, not monoculture, yeah. Not monocropping. Like, diversity of soil is so important, and diversity of crops and diversity of people. I really think that, yeah, we have a racist past of this country.
Yeah.
And unless we actually address it, we're not going to be able to, like, move forward. And so, yeah,
wow.
I agree with you completely. It would be wonderful if we didn't have to look at those things. But inevitably, you know, like,
well,
you were,
I guess one of the point I'm making is that there's strength in numbers, and there's so much fractionalizing of farmers today. I wouldn't want you to be not wasting your time, because I don't think you are. But I think that if we get a lot of different groups together and work on these same problems, because they do exist, it would help everybody. That's just my two cents. But I know you're doing a lot of work here. Websites, soulfirefarm.org. There are several resources, including if you go to the website there, Take Action and Get Involved in sections. And there's a book called Farming While Black that is fabulous. Check that out. Amani, thanks for your expertise. Amani Al-Agbala here on the American Family Farmer.
Comp- complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to C1, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay Heating Wraps and Pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll-free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is the American Family Farmer. I'm Doug Steffen. The podcast of this program, I want to kind of couple of program notes here. The whole program you can listen to at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com. Anytime it's on, you can listen to the whole program. Or as we go through the week, we edit a podcast of the important aspects. So a lot of times there are things in the podcast, for example, this lady that's on with us today, there may be some things you hear in the podcast you didn't hear in the regular broadcast. They become a part of more information that is available by listening to the podcast. All of the podcasts and regular hours are at AmericanFamilyFarmerShow.com. And then, of course, the radio stations that carry this program all around the country, thanks to them for getting the word out. And my focus and my comment here this week has to do with more money. Talking about justice, this lady that was just on, this is the most unjust, this is so outrageous. What's happening to money that's coming from federal programs like the bailouts and all of this stuff with the trade wars? People that are getting these checks, they don't milk cows, they don't plant corn. There are 900, I'm going to take one city as an example, okay? This will really get your water boiling or your blood boiling. 900 Philadelphians who have collected federal farm subsidies totaling almost $4
$900. 900 people live in Philadelphia. They don't, they're residents. They live in Center City. They live in Chestnut Hill. They live in Media. They don't live out on the farm, but yet they receive annual checks based on nothing more than their family connections to farms in states from, whether it's the rest of Pennsylvania, when you look around some of the other states around the country. And this is, there was an article in the Philadelphia Inquirer that I got a hold of, the analysis of the U.S. Department of Agriculture data. And this is not just in this administration, this administration has been damnably outrageous about where the money went. But there are other, if you go back 20, 25 years, the data that I'm looking at here looks at transparency. And so if you go back to after the Dust Bowl, during the FDR first years when there were all kinds of subsidies, maybe most of you don't go back, but maybe you've read about it or you've heard about it from other members in your family. Subsidies were paid to growers to offset agricultural cost and risk after the Depression and the Dust Bowl. One arcane aspect of this program is that money had been funneled to children, to cousins, to nieces, other relatives that were on the farm at the time, but they aren't now. So why the hell is this law still in effect? Why are these people that are getting these checks that tout the fact that Trump was touting, we've got another round of billions of dollars going to our fine family farmers? Baloney. It's not going to the family farmers. It's going to these boobs and their families who have no more connection to the farm than I have to fly into the moon. Nobody connected to a cabbage patch or a pig pen. They're actively engaged in farming, really. Well, they're actively engaged in farming because they've invested through hedge funds. Their spouses aren't engaged, but yet, because the law reads the way it does, they're eligible for subsidies. A city resident could claim that he's helping to manage a farm run by his brother in Iowa, and that's what's happened, and they get this money. And so you discuss the guy in Philadelphia calls his brother in Iowa, discusses the operation on a 5-minute call. So, I mean, he's never put his butt into a tractor. It's just, it's unconscionable. It's not fair to the taxpayer. It's not fair to the farmer. These strings that are attached to getting government farm subsidies. I could no more do this and you couldn't either. But the connections that people have, here's a guy that lives in Bella Vista, and the zip code is 19147, which is a very upscale part of Philadelphia. He's gotten $500,000 in government subsidies since 1999. Can you imagine? 74 years old. There's another guy that's gotten $201,000 in subsidies from corn, sorghum, and oat crops grown on land that he owns, but he doesn't farm it. Why the hell isn't the farmer getting this money? Not this guy, just because he owns it. What an outrage. All right, food for thought. I'm giving it to you straight from the shoulder. I'm Doug Steffen on this week's American Family Farmer Show.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I have treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.